Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. We're going to dive into all things God's design for healthy sexuality. Let's talk about it.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Let's Talk About It podcast. We're very excited today to bring you one of our favorite topics, as always, dating.
Yeah, so Abram and I actually oversee the singles and dating portion of Moral Revolution.
We do.
For those of you who didn't know, which is probably a lot of you. So we actually oversee the singles and dating portion. I help co-host our Date Well community for women, which is super exciting. We have over 200 women in the group now. Yeah. It's been super fun. If you want to learn more about that, you can head to letsdatewell.com. But I actually have some exciting news, or maybe I should let you do it.
If you're a guy and you think, man, how can I get into that community? Well, you can't get into that one.
No.
But Date Well Men is coming for you. I'm actually going to be one of the co-hosts. We're crafting it and building it especially for men. So we're very excited about it. You can also go to letsdatewell.com and you can sign up for the wait list to find out more information and be the first to find out.
Yes. Guys, this has been like years in the making, I feel
right?
like. So this is like highly anticipated. And
right.
all of the DMs we get from all the well-meaning people who are like, you guys should have a Date Well for men. Don't worry.
It's coming.
We heard you and it is coming. So definitely head to Let's Talk About It. Let's talk about it.
So should we talk about it?
We should talk about
it. Letsdatewell.com is where you want to go.
And then
today,
we can talk about something else.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
So what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about active dating versus waiting on God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a fun topic.
That's
especially when it comes to singles and dating. This is what we get the most DMs on.
Yep.
I would say. Yeah. High percentage of the DMs we get are like, what's the difference between waiting on God and actively dating? How do you do them? I don't know what to do.
Yeah, and you see so many people who think that they're dating in a healthy way, but maybe falling into one of the pitfalls of either side.
Yeah.
I mean, the way I see it, the way we see it is they're both important and they're both fit together, but sometimes people can lean one way in one camp and go so far that it actually takes them away from their goals, right?
Yeah.
So their goal is to date in a healthy way that honors God, that's good to themselves, the people they're dating, and will lead to marriage with someone at some point. It's not just dating to date to go, man, this is really fun. My schedule is full. But there's these two different pieces that kind of fit together.
Yeah.
And we often see people fall in one camp or in the other and then kind of get stuck.
Yeah.
So we wanted to break that apart today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of unpack those two.
Yeah, I think the biggest one would be waiting on God.
Ooh.
I mean, especially in the Christian environment, what does that look like?
I definitely did that for a couple of years. I actually have a very soft spot in my heart for these people because I think it's so important to wait on God, right? To date with God. At one point, I invited God to be my wingman. I had no idea what that meant, but I was like, yes, I need help. And so it was a beautiful partnership to watch God come in with me and partner with me in this waiting on God. And I think there's some great strengths here. And then I think if taken too far, there's some ways that we can hide. How do I say this? There's some ways that we can hide our insecurities or our fears inside of a religious context that makes it sound good, but in reality, we're hiding.
Totally.
Right?
Okay. So wait, before we dive into everything, those who are like listening and maybe don't understand the whole concept of waiting on God, what would you say is like just a quick snippet definition for what that would actually mean?
That is a great question. I would define waiting on God is it's not just dating with God, but it's leaning towards it's leaning towards waiting for God to initiate your dating movement, right? So when God highlights someone, then you move. Or when you get asked out, then you go to God and you wait and you hear until you have 100% green light, then you take the next step.
Yeah.
I think there's we'll get into it more, but there's pairing with God in that process. But then the idea of waiting on God that we're talking about today heavily revolves around the idea of God initiates the movement in dating, in the dating process.
Totally.
Okay.
I'm just looking out for those people out
there. Yeah, that's great. It's actually in our notes. I just skipped over it, so well done. Okay. So some of the benefits of this, which I love, is the fact that you're really building trust with God, right? It's in these moments that you're not running to everybody else. You're not running to anything else. You're really stopping and leaning into God and going, okay, you know that I'm passionate about this. You know that I want to get married. You know that this is a deep desire of my heart. I'm leaning into you and going, okay, I'm kind of representing this in front of you again. And sometimes honestly sacrificing it.
Yeah.
Going, okay, I'm giving up what I think I want for what I believe that you have is best. So basically I'm just coming there. I'm going, okay, God, you know, I want to get married. You know that I'm passionate. You know, my age, let's be honest, it's getting up there, you know, at this point, what are we doing about this? And it's this beautiful exchange that you get to have with God where you get to interact, and you get to open up a dream, a passion, maybe a sore spot or a soft spot, and let God speak into that and really strengthen, and meet you in a very special way that not everyone gets to do.
Yeah.
The second thing that it allows you to do as you're waiting is it really lets you focus on being a healthy person. Like, rather than just, I'm just going to go for it and find her or find him.
Totally.
Like, I'm going to like sit down and I'm going to look at me first. I'm going to look at some of the places that have been hurt. Some of the, maybe the father wounds or the mother wounds. Even if you had a great parent, they're not God and they did the best that they could. Hopefully they did the best that they could. But there's just some stuff that comes up. Even, you know, I'm from the South, so we don't really like to say things directly. We talk around things and you're just going, okay, that's actually not super healthy in all relationships. I need to learn how to communicate a bit more directly. So this working and focusing on becoming a healthy person, as you wait on God and you're in this process, you're really engaging with God and dialoguing, and it lets you be healthier there.
Yeah, totally. It's almost like you're living to live. You're not just living to get married.
Yeah.
Is the mentality.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, and the last big strength I see of this is you don't do what everybody else does. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I know everybody else is getting married or everybody else is having sex right now. And I'm not still. That's real. And Sloan's like, that's kind of embarrassing. I'm like, look, I got married when I was in my 30s. I know what it's like. That there's a lot of years in there. The beautiful thing about that is when you don't do what everybody else does, you actually build an internal muscle that says, I don't care what the world does. I don't care what culture does. I don't care what even my friends do. Yeah. It, between me and God, I want to do the right thing and I want to lean into this. And it increases such a strong self-will muscle inside. Yeah. That's not just great for relationships, but it's great work ethic. It's great, you know, and as you parent, it's great as you, for your marriage, it's great in so many areas of life. It's that internal self-discipline.
Yeah, I so hear you.
Yeah. The bad sides of this.
Not so fun.
Of course, sides. I've never done this. But this is some of the ways that I like to gently kind of come through people. Because again, my goal is to help them achieve their goal, right? Which is to date healthy and get married. Right. Yeah. So,
and we would say that this is like the extreme side, right?
Yeah.
We're saying like the unhealthy side, we're saying like someone has taken that phrase, I'm waiting on God, and just ran miles with it, is basically what we're saying here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This is like, I'm waiting on God. And I'm like, are you? Like, here's the question. Are you waiting on God or are you using God as an excuse and you're kind of checked out of the game? That's what I'm talking about. And right. I see this, usually it comes up in the fear, in the sense of, people afraid to make risks or take risks or make mistakes. So they had this idea that kind of sneaks in to go, man, I don't know what I'm doing, which is fine. Most of us don't. Like, none, we're all figuring it out. Surprise. That's why we have lots of blogs and articles and books that we're constantly reading and understanding how to live life better. But in this idea of trying to avoid mistakes, I'm actually have just checked out. I've became passive. And the idea is like, okay, well, if God chooses for me, then I know there won't be pain, or then I know there won't be a mistake, or then there won't be rejection, or I won't have to deal with a breakup. But that's not always the case.
Yeah.
God, I don't believe that God leads you into pain, but I don't think that God's as afraid of pain as we are.
Yeah.
Like, we do a lot of stuff to avoid pain. At one point in my dating journey, I was processing with God and just super frustrated. It was the kind of, you know, the pages in your journal that you don't want anyone ever to read.
Yeah.
And you're like, this may not make me a Christian anymore. No. But I was processing with him and he interrupted my train of thought. And he's like, why are you so afraid of pain?
Yeah.
And I was like, because it hurts. I'm like, it hurts. He's like, why are you so afraid of pain if I'm the healer?
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I was in the middle of journaling, and then I just sat there for probably 25 minutes and just stared, and I'm like, I don't have a good answer of this. But yeah. In this process that we're afraid to make mistakes, that God's not as afraid of pain as we are. He's not as afraid of mistakes as we are. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking moral failures. We're not talking sin. Yeah. We're literally just talking about like
disappointment.
And yeah. And rejection that. And thinking, I'm like, oh, I thought that was going to work out and it didn't. Or, you know, I thought that date was going to go smoother, or, you know, I thought I was much more secure in my identity, or I don't feel as great after how that date went, or after that text or after that call as I thought. And now I have all this stuff inside. So sometimes we have the idea that if God chooses, then we don't have to deal with any of that. And we're like coasting, which isn't true. And it's just, let's skip over that and let's move on to like, okay, like, yeah, you will experience life. But the promise is that he'll be with you in the process of it, and he'll work through everything, and he'll use it all to work to good.
Yeah.
Okay, the second thing, like I already said, we kind of can stall out, and we call it waiting on God. And most of the time it's just avoiding pain. I don't want to deal with pain. I don't want to deal with rejection. I don't want to deal with disappointment. I don't want to deal with the awkward. And so I'll just stall out, and then you find this sometimes with people. Guys and girls both do it different ways. Girls are like, no one asked me out. And guys are like, I can't find anybody. And I'm like, what's happening? And you're like, well, I was like, how are you pursuing this? And they're like, well, I'm just waiting on God. I'm like, so you're sitting on your couch and talking to the same group of friends over and over again about why nothing's happening. I was like, you're stalled. That's what you've done. Let's figure out why, overcome that, and keep moving. The last thing I was going to say is, some people hide at this point, because they end up hiding and they don't deal with themselves. Like either they're overwhelmed with their own ignorance of dating, which isn't a bad thing. It's just literally, I don't know how to do this. So they stall out that way. Or they're like, I feel so broken about a lot of stuff. And they kind of hide within the, I'm waiting on God, or I'm dating God, which some people, I don't really love the term I'm dating on God, or like, I'm dating God. I'm like, no, you're focusing your time on your relationship with God. Let's use that. Let's not make it weird for everybody.
Put on your Facebook, I'm dating Jesus Christ.
I know so many guys that are like taking risks. They're going there and they're asking the girl, and they're like, hey, and she's like, I'm just dating Jesus right now. And I'm like, well, you're dating Jesus right now until next week when that other guy asks you out. And so let's say you're focusing your emotional energy on your relationship with God right now. Yeah,
because I can guarantee you're not putting together physical boundaries with Jesus.
Right.
Your purity plan's not being written with Jesus, my girl.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Real talk. Tangent. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think a lot of times then we get overwhelmed with our own histories, with our own fears and inadequacies, and we end up just stalling out or ignorance, and then just go, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting for God to move because I don't know what I'm doing. Or I'm waiting on God to move because I feel so overwhelmed in my own stuff, rather than taking an active step towards dating.
Yeah. Calling all my single and dating ladies, we have a program built just for you, and I want you to join us. So if you're ready to learn all things dating and how to invite God in on your process, then head to letsdatewell.com. Okay, active dating.
Yes.
Fun times. This is a fun conversation to have, because for some people, it's almost like revolutionary in the church to be like, wow, I can actively date, because they've had the mentality for so long that might have been lended to that same mentality that we're just at, which is waiting on God, where it's like, you're kind of just sitting around hoping and waiting that the FedEx man is your husband. Like, you know, he pops up and you're like, oh, wow, it's perfect. And we're going to get married now. Like, you just expect.
Yeah, you got to order a lot of stuff on Amazon for that to happen.
And man, don't I? No. You just kind of hope and wait that, like, you know, something will happen immediately, instantaneously, without you trying.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that I see play out a lot with women is the difference between initiation and pursuit, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But that feeling of like, I don't want to have to initiate anything. I want someone to completely pursue me. But that takes our step out of it. And so when it comes to active dating, I would say like the little quick snippet definition of active dating would be let me just read it off so that I'm not saying it wrong. You're pursuing dating by putting yourself out there. Mm. So you're initiating something, or you're just taking the next step. That could be you're asking your friends to set you up on a blind date. Yeah. That could be you're trying online dating and using it healthily. That could be you're literally just going up to guys and saying, hi, my name is, you seem really interesting, we should grab a coffee. Like all of those little tiny steps would be seen as active dating, right?
Yeah, or in some of the guy examples of that. Yeah, totally. Again, online dating, asking your friends to set up, or like going to a party, like going, asking, hey, is anything going on? Joining a club, doing something to put yourself out there with more, where you get to meet more people, where you get to meet more people and there's more kind of options in front of you. There's more like, okay, like great. Like I now meeting more people and I can see some stuff out there.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm going to wait on the Lord to create a burning bush in front of me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
totally. So when I think of this, the pros that come up with active dating would, one, be your getting dates. I mean, that's the pretty obvious one. You're going on dates. You are, you know, using online dating responsibly, which we have blogs and podcasts and things. And we talk really in depth about that in Date Well Women, if you are wanting more info on that one. But you're getting dates. You're learning the value of risk and you're learning how to face rejection. Yep. And meet it with compassion and love and walk through the healing process when you come out of a rejection or when a date doesn't work, or when we sit on the sidelines of our dating journeys, we can easily, like Abram said, like we can find ourselves trying to avoid pain or disappointment. Mm. But the reality is God never said, hey, you're never going to face disappointment in your life. No, he just said, hey, I'm going to sit with you in the midst of it. And I think when it comes to dating, that's super important to learn. Like one, like we just said, the pro would be you're getting dates, but you're also learning how to risk and put yourself out there and face rejection and face pain head on with Jesus in hand. So I think that's a huge pro.
Yeah. And you're getting to like, you're figuring, as you're getting dates, you're figuring out how to interact with the opposite sex.
Yeah, that's huge.
Specifically in a dating context.
Yeah, definitely. Another pro would then be you're learning more about what you want in a spouse. So we talk about this in Date Well, like I said a second ago, but the idea of preferences versus standards and understanding this is what I want. This is a standard that I want in a spouse, not just a preference. I don't want just a, you know, 6'11" guy with brown hair who plays the guitar. No, I have standards. I want them to have integrity. I want them to have good work ethic. Like all the things that matter to you, you kind of learn a little bit more in depth while you're on the dating journey and meeting people and getting out there. I think that's a huge pro.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, so if you're going to argue that point, cause I used to argue that point, it'd be like, well, I can get to know people, not on dates. It's true. You can. But there's also, I started to say it a second ago, and then I realized I was cutting you off. Okay. But there is, you show up differently romantically to people. Like you get to see a different side of them. And some of that you don't really get to see until you start crossing that, that line between friends and could we be more than friends?
Yeah. I think another pro too would be like you're learning your yeses and nos. I think that goes along with it. Mm-hmm. And you're learning how to communicate your nos.
Yep.
I remember I went on a season where I felt God was like, hey, anyone who asks you out in this little inch of time, I want you to go on the date because I want you to learn how to communicate clearly, how to communicate a yes and communicate a no. Because I was so scared of hurting people's feelings that I just wouldn't go on a date with anyone that I thought was like, maybe not even just like an inch of like, not what I would want. I would be like, okay, no, sorry. I'm like, I have a boyfriend or something. I would just come up with all these cop-out reasons that weren't legitimate and they weren't truthful. And ladies, I have a blog on this.
So you should write a blog on that.
I know. We'll put it in the show notes. But I followed and I was like, okay, God, like if you're calling me to do this, seems weird, I'll do it. But in that season, I learned so well how to honor men with my no. And it was important season for me. Like that was a really important season for me because I learned how to communicate my no and communicate my yes. And yeah, I think that's a big pro.
Can I just say, as a guy, it doesn't feel great to get a no, but it feels so much better to get a no than a silence. Like, right?
Yeah,
getting ghosted is horrible.
Or to be lied to and say like, I have a boyfriend, when you're like on Facebook, you're like, pretty sure you don't have a boyfriend.
Yeah, I Facebook stalked you ahead of time or Instagram stalked you and there's no boy in here. So you're lying.
That's funny. Okay. The last pro. Yeah. The last pro on here is just a pretty realistic one too. You have a higher chance of actually meeting your spouse. So what we mean by that too is like it kind of ties into the first pro. You're dating. So you're getting yourself out there when it comes like to the, like the versus waiting on God version, or a side of things, you are like actively out there. Like you're actively meeting people. You're putting yourself in a position where you can meet people. I think we're about to dive into the cons of it too, yep. But I think this part could also dive into a con. We'll talk about that in a second, but you have a higher chance of actually meeting someone you would be interested in spending the rest of your life with, right. Which I mean, that's a pro if you're wanting to eventually get married, like getting yourself out there, meeting people. Yeah.
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 It's so much easier to meet more people when you're meeting more people.
Yeah. Okay. So just to tag off of that one, though, that could be a con. So we're going to just talk a little bit about the cons of this when you're on the extreme side. Yeah. When we're talking about the extreme side, because like a second ago when we said waiting on God and you just like ran with the extremes of it, we have cons for this one too.
We're running the other way.
Exactly. So a con with this would be you start to view the opposite gender as potentials. Mm. You stop seeing them kind of as a friend or even a just human. You start seeing them as like, you know, a ploy to get a need met or to go on a date with or like your future spouse and you haven't even had a conversation with them yet. So it's that can be a con. If you're not keeping your mindset in check, that can be very easy to fall into when you're actively dating.
Yeah. It's like, of course, not from personal experience, but I found myself at some point, you know, you go to a party and instead of walking in and seeing a room full of humans, I quickly stand and go, oh, I could be interested in her or her or her. I was like, so there's three possible girls here. I was like, wow, okay. And you see that a lot with online dating with like swiping options is like you start to see people as potential mates rather than humans first.
Yeah.
And so in that, I was like, oh, that's not good. I need to like, okay, stop. Let's refresh. And then let me get to know humans here. And then you just start that way.
Yeah, so good. Another one would be you could get into a pattern of kind of using people to medicate your needs and hurts. And whether that be through, you know, serial dating or even jumping over the line and, you know, crossing physical boundaries or sleeping with people or whatever that may be. Like you can find yourself not actually doing soul checks to see how you're doing internally and just externally going on a bunch of dates to get your needs validated and to feel okay. That can easily be a line that you start to fall into. And that's not like we're like throwing heaping amounts of shame. It's just saying, hey, maybe do a heart check, maybe do a little pause of like, okay, where am I at? How am I actually feeling? And in turn, how do I honor the person I'm going to go on a date with in the season that I'm in?
Yeah. I think one thing just popped into my head is to kind of to help monitor that is like, if you're going on a lot of dates, are you going thinking, what am I getting out of this? Like I'm getting all this value. I'm getting this affirmation. I'm getting this attention. I'm getting these free meals, whatever out of it. Or are you going expecting to enjoy another human and coming with the mentality I have something to give to this relationship.
That's so good.
Because healthy people give into relationships where when you're meeting your needs met, you're just there to kind of see what you can get filled up.
Yeah, totally. I think Jason Valentin talks about that a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll probably put in the show notes too, but just the idea of the intimacy ladder and relationships and knowing when you're ready to date is a big one. We'll put that down there. Okay, so the last one would be the it all depends on me mentality. I get that. Listen, I'm very independent. And when it comes to dating, it was hard for me to not think that way. Like, oh my gosh, it all depends on me. And you have like an existential crisis because you're like, am I going to find it? Am I going to find the right person? Am I going to find the person I'm going to marry? And the whole mentality can just become so overwhelming. And then you end up taking God out of the equation completely. Mm-hmm. And that can cause you to miss some major red flags. And I'm not saying that from experience. Like you weren't saying things from experience.
Of course not. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think in that, it kind of comes back to the same things. And we're going to talk a little bit more about like how steps to find your balance in a minute. So don't worry, we're not just bashing both sides of the coin and then just running out. We're going to actually give some steps. But when it comes back to this one, it all depends on me mentality. It's just making sure that we aren't throwing God out of the equation completely, right? We don't want to throw him out at all. It's the matter of partnering with God on our dating journey and having him speak into it and allowing him to give us vision and understanding as we're dating and we're kind of navigating the uncharted waters of modern dating, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Thoughts?
I think, I think, and we talked about this beforehand, so I'm gonna just transition to Sloan's genius because I think both of these kind of come into the same fear, right?
Yeah.
They're both two sides of the same fear manifested in completely different ways.
Totally.
Right? So what would you say that fear is?
Man, I think that fear really is kind of boils down to that fear of missing out, right? And that overemphasis on self-reliance, really. Mm. Because when you look at the waiting on God side of things, it's that, like, I've got to muster up enough strength to trust God for my spouse. He needs to be smoking hot. God, hear my voice. Are you listening to me? And then, please, God, it's been 20 years. There's no one in sight. Like, that same, like, ooh, striving feeling. And then on the other side, in the active dating, it can go on the the complete opposite, but on the same playing field. Yeah. Just like, I have to get out there. I've got to do this. It's all up to me. I need to do this. Or that same stress mindset can happen on both sides of the extremes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so afraid of missing out. Therefore God has to do it for me. Or I'm mm-hmm. so afraid of missing out and God's not in it. I have to do it all myself.
Yeah.
And so it adds so much anxiety right around it.
Yeah. It makes it so high stakes. And yep. if you've followed us for a while, you'll know that we say this a lot and we have so many Instagram posts on this, but dating doesn't need to be high stakes. And I think that in the generation that we're in, we're really needing to peel that back and uncover that a little bit more. And I think that's Abram and I's heart in talking about this today, is just to boil it down and be like, hey, dating doesn't need to be this very high stakes thing of like, God, you have to do it all, or Sloan, you have to do it all, whatever it is. We can boil it down and find a happy, peaceful medium.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the, I think the opposite then of okay. the fear of missing out, what would you say that is?
The whole, like, I need to do it. It's up to me.
Yeah, the opposite mentally. Of it. Like, what's the truth?
Oh, yeah, sorry. So I was like, wait.
like, we just covered this.
Yeah, we just talked about this. It would be partnering with God in the process.
Yeah.
It would be that safe union with God of like, hey, I'm coming to the table fully showing up myself, and I'm doing what I can on my own and in a safe place to, you know, initiate things, put myself out there. But I'm also bringing God alongside to trusting that he sees what I can't see. Mm. And I'm trusting to my spirit to hear what God is speaking about my dating life and my relationships. We're not taking him out of the equation. And then we're not taking ourselves out of the equation. I would say that's a happy medium.
Yeah. That's great.
Do you have thoughts?
No, I like that. I thought thoughts, but I thought that was a good synopsis. I was like, I don't want to ramble right now. I think that was great. Okay. So now, we've talked about the benefits and the cons of kind of each of these two different pieces that fit and meld together. If you find yourself on one side or another side, let's talk about a few of the practicals of, yeah. So what's some steps that we can do then to kind of either figure out where we are or make sure that we're merged, yeah. We're merging these places and we have that dichotomy where we're not taking ourselves out, but we're not taking God out either.
Yeah, totally. It'd be like the steps to finding balance, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would say first step number one is asking God, what season are you in? I mean, it sounds so simple, and I think a lot of us can kind of glaze over that, but taking intentional time in your prayer life and your journal life, when you're communing with God and fellowshipping with him, like asking that question, like, God, what season am I in? Am I in a dating season? Like, I remember in that season that I was in where I felt like God was like, hey, I actually want you to go on a bunch of dates. I was like, okay, I guess I'm in a dating season, because I went like beforehand, like a year without dating. So I think that it's super, super practical step. And then also a kind of clued in to be like, okay, where am I actually at, God?
Yeah.
I know you have thoughts on this too, because didn't you have a season where you...
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to like actively date. I was going on dates. I was meeting people. I was putting myself out there. I went speed dating at one point, which is a fascinating experience. I had a buddy.
That sounds horrific to me. I feel like.
I had a buddy who signed up for it, and he's like, hey, do you want to do this with me? And I don't know if it was just late at night or if it was Jesus blinding me, but I was like, yeah, that sounds fun. Let's do it. And then a day or two before the event came up, I went, what in the world did I sign up for?
That sounds horrific.
But I really enjoyed it. Because I went in and I just remember, I was like, okay, I'm not going to stress out. I'm not going to try to get anything. I'm just here to enjoy people, meet them and give. But that was a fun experience. I'd recommend it just for great experiences and getting to meet lots of people who, you know, are actually looking to date. It's not a bunch of people not dating. But in this season, I was trying a bunch of stuff and I was so frustrated. It wasn't working. And I came back to God again. I was like, God, like, what are you doing? And he goes, not dating. And I was like, oh, see, I've been trying to do what, okay, what are you doing? And he's like, hey, I want to help you get a house. And so there was another dream that I had had that I had so focused on dating that I had forgot the idea that there was all these other things that God could do and wants to do in my life. And he's like, I'm actually focused over here right now. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to stop knocking on this door and go over here. And then I bought a house a few months later, and it was a beautiful, another experience of figuring out how to partner with God and Him unfolding the desires of my heart and knowing how to meet those.
Yeah, that's great. What would you say step two?
Yeah, so step two, I would say, is then if you are in the dating season, ask God what your next step is. So again, you can actively take steps. You can initiate steps. That doesn't mean if you're a girl that you're pursuing the guy, or you're being pursued if you're the guy. But it means like you're invested and you're showing up. It's like you said, like I'm putting myself out there. I'm showing up. So this could be that God's going, hey, I want you to work on father wounds, or I want you to work on rejection. It could be like, hey, I want you to learn how to flirt, which I know can be controversial. I just was really bad at flirting, and my housemate had to tell me, he's like, no one knows that you're interested in the girl. He's like, you're just being nice. I was like, it's like, you have to flirt. And so I Googled like, how do you flirt? But there's just these different stages that God is really good about knowing where you're at and where you need to be and what your next step is. So some of it may be like, hey, I want you to ask someone out. And it could be, I want you to sign up for online dating. I want you to ask someone else to sign to put you out there, or to connect you with someone, you know. So there's lots of things that you could do. Some of it looks like dating, and some of it looks like getting healthy, but just asking God, what are those next steps?
Yeah. I think the next one kind of piggybacks off of that. It would be finding out what side you lean towards. So we just talked about active dating, and we just talked about waiting on God. So as you had that time with the Lord and you kind of journaled things out and prayed through things and kind of felt out where you felt God was leading you, kind of measuring it up. Where am I? Am I actively dating, or am I waiting on God? Like which part of the, or which side of the coin am I sitting in right now?
Yeah.
Right?
That's great. Yeah. And then I would encourage you, number four, we have five steps, just so you know. Number four though, I would say, take risks.
Yeah.
Again, so it's similar to number two, figuring out what's next, but take some risks and then see what fears come up. So go on a date, go on a coffee date, go on a second date, you know, create that account, put yourself out there and see what fears come up. And then the fears aren't a bad thing. It's just a great indicator of, hey, this is what's going on inside. And maybe it's a thought, maybe it's a fear, maybe it's an insecurity. But when it comes up, I'm like, great. I grab it. Then I like, me personally, I write it down so I can like, remember, this is the thing that, here's my target I'm going after. Mm-hmm. And then I talk to Jesus about it. I get the truth about it. I talk to some community about it. I talk to other people who know me and go like, this is the thing that I want destroyed in my life because it's stopping me from living fully. It's not that it's stopping me from dating. It's stopping me from living fully and unhindered. And that's what I want to do with Jesus.
Yeah, that's good. And that actually makes me think of quite a few of my friends who have sat maybe in the, you know, waiting on God space. Yep. And it really, that did end up becoming like a cop-out phrase for them. And they found that when they kind of went through similar steps in their own heart of like, God, actually, where am I at? I've been using this phrase, I'm waiting on you, for the last few months, and there's been no movement in my dating life. Where are you at? And then it was this like awakening thing inside of them of like, oh, wait, I'm actually allowed to initiate something. Like I'm actually allowed to, you know, approach a guy and, you know, ask for coffee or approach a guy and have a conversation. Like I can do those things. And it was kind of a whole mind shift for them. And a few of them are married now, like just having the mentality that switches when you know your season, you know your step, you can take that risk and confidence because either way, God is backing you up.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so that leads into our last and final point. This one is my personal favorite, and we did it as the cherry on top at the end when we were planning this podcast out. And it would be, take the pressure off. Like, just in unison, take a big, deep old breath.
How do you do that, though?
Yeah.
I'm like, pressure's off, yeah. Except I still feel it all. How do you do it?
I would say, okay, so this first one, I think we wrote it as our last, but I'm gonna make it our first little point underneath this. I'm switching it up. So taking the pressure off yourself would be asking, I mean, one point could be like asking yourself, what are you feeding yourself? And what I mean by that is like, what are you constantly feeding on? What are you feeding your spirit? What are you feeding your soul? Are you constantly on Instagram or social media just on a constant basis, and you're seeing everyone else live their wildest married lives and dating lives, and you feel that resentment and bitterness kind of rising up in you, and you kind of just want to just throw your phone in a fire? Like, that's real. I mean, having those feelings come up is real. But asking yourself, what are you feeding yourself? And then seeing what you can shelf for a bit. I mean, there's a season in my life where, you know, I called off an engagement. It was really hard. And for me, I actually couldn't on my Instagram see a bunch of elaborate proposals and all of these things. So I would just mute those accounts for a minute. That didn't mean I didn't love those people. That didn't mean that I didn't care for their journeys. It just meant I was in a tender place. And for me at that moment, I didn't want to feed myself a bunch of things that would cause resentment for me when I wasn't to process all of it. Right.
Yeah.
So I think just asking yourself whatever those things are for you in the season that you are in.
Yeah. You're stewarding the tender parts of your heart.
Yeah.
On one side. And then you're also just feeding the strengths and your vision for where you want to go on the other side.
Totally. Because dating is vulnerable. And so you want to feed yourself things that are going to empower you, equip you, finding blogs on our site that are going to equip you, joining the Datewell communities that are going to equip you, give you, help you with your identity, all those good things. So you want to go with the next one?
Yeah. I think one thing that is super helpful. So again, it's combating that fear of missing out of that God's not going to come through is I actually like to review my history with God. Like in the Old Testament, they would set up milestones, like big stones of remembrance.
Yeah.
And it's going back throughout your history. It doesn't have to be with dating. It could be with school. It could be with a family situation. It could be with a job. It could be with a dream that you had as a child or, you know, any hobby or anything like that. But just going back through and reminding yourself and as you remind yourself what God's doing or what God has done, it actually re-strengthens the trust that you have with him to go, okay, I actually trust you that you'll give me all good things. Psalms 84:11, it says that no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly with him. So it's like I'm reminding myself again, that's not only the truth, but I've seen the truth in my life over and over again. And I'll remind myself of that. And then at the end of that situation, at the end of that period or that season, each time you kind of walk away going, man, he really is good.
Yeah.
And he really is invested in me and he really does care. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep going towards this because I know he's good. He cares. He's invested. And he's like, he would not do all that he's just done to stop and leave me here.
Yeah. That's so good. And I think everything that kind of wraps this all up could be summed up in this too. Reminding yourself that you are more than a relationship. You are more than a marriage. You are more than the potential of someone wanting you. God has so much more that he wants to do in your life than just those things. And I don't want that to sound demeaning to anyone's dreams, because I know I have a huge dream in my life to get married and have a family. That's definitely a dream. And I know that many of you could probably say the same. But I think it's important to take a step back and see the full picture. Even though we are human, we can't actually see the full picture that God has for our lives, but there is so much more that he might want to do with you in your timeline. And when we hold so tightly to the one thing, it becomes our focus and our focal point that we only see what's not happening.
Yeah.
And that only builds resentment and pain in our journey. So when we can kind of slowly let go and remind our hearts, like, okay, heart, like, I know there is so much more in my lifetime that I'm going to see. God, I give you full reins of my life to show me what those things are. I think that's super important as we kind of wrap up the conversation between dating, active dating, all of that.
Yeah.
And waiting on God.
I just had the fun prayer of like, God, I give you permission to show me your goodness in any area of my life.
Yeah.
In every area of my life. Like, I want to be surprised by your goodness in every area.
Yeah.
And then let him show you the full masterpiece that he's doing, the full symphony, rather than just that one instrument.
That's so good. What a beautiful picture, man. You're good at that. You should maybe co-lead the Datewell for Men.
Yeah, we should do something like that.
I don't know. I think maybe you should.
Yeah, let's do it. Deal.
Awesome. Well, guys, we are so glad that you joined us today as we talked about waiting on God and active dating. If you have any other thoughts or comments on this topic, feel free to post them in the comment section below or DM us. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear what you guys are thinking about what we're posting and chatting about.
Yeah, we love it. Thanks for joining. We'll see you next time.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.